this is Kathy Hart, host of the Health First Radio Show. Today we have Lisa Kilgore, and we're going to be interviewing her on mindful nutrition. But first, we're going to have Alan with the Health First News.
Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest may not be good for women's self-esteem, a new study suggests. Women are less likely to be happy with their bodies if they spend more than an hour a day on social media, the findings showed. These women tend to think thin people are more attractive and may be more self-conscious about how they themselves look, said lead researcher Martin Graff. He is head of psychology research with the University of South Wales in the United Kingdom. For this study, Graff and his colleagues recruited 100 female college students and had them complete a series of questionnaires about their social media use and feelings about body image. The survey results were to be presented last week at the British Psychological Society's annual meeting in Nottingham. Dementia can turn even the simple task of getting dressed into a Herculean ordeal, but an experimental automated system called Dress might someday ease that challenge. Using available technology, the system might enable patients to dress themselves without a human assistant. A just-completed laboratory trial assessed the system's ability to use video cameras, tablets, motion sensors, and barcodes to successfully pinpoint dressing problems among 11 dementia-free participants as they sorted through clothing by themselves. However, it often failed to note when a user finished putting on a pair of pants or a shirt, so the research team says more work lies ahead. The trial results were published in the April to June issue of the journal JMIR Medical Informatics. It's been long known that people who sit for extended periods of time run the risk of blood clots. In fact, the condition has been dubbed economy class syndrome because it's believed it can be brought on by stretches of prolonged immobility on long-distance flights. Now, a new study out of Japan found that people fleeing a natural disaster seem to be at risk of the unexpected cause of death, life-threatening blood clots in the legs and lungs triggered by sitting in a car for a long time. In the study, researchers explained that following the 2016 Kumamoto earthquake in Japan, a large number of night aftershocks occurred. Many people were afraid to return home and decided to evacuate instead. While some reached a public evacuation shelter, many others had to stay in their vehicles overnight. An analysis of hospital data following this event revealed an epidemic of blood clots in evacuees' legs. In some cases, these blood clots traveled to the lungs. The study findings were published March 3rd in the Canadian Journal of Cardiology. Sometimes life's sudden shocks or illnesses can turn hair gray. But how does premature graying happen? Scientists say new animal research may help clear up the mystery. The mouse study suggests there's a link between genes that contribute to hair and skin color and genes that alert the body about infections. Study co-author William Paven said this new discovery suggests that genes that control pigment in hair and skin also work to control the innate immune system. These results may enhance our understanding of hair graying, he said. Paven is chief of genetic disease research at the U.S. National Human Genome Research Institute. The report was published online May 3rd in the journal PLOS Biology.
Lisa Kilgore is a registered holistic nutritionist and a sought-after speaker, educator, and writer who helps people heal from diverse and complex health issues. Lisa teaches people to improve personal self-care, balance emotions, strengthen gut flora, improve sleep, and lower stress through her proven holistic techniques. Specializing in the digestive neurological connection, in 2015 she spoke about this issue at TEDx Kelowna, and in 2010 was voted BC's favorite nutritionist by Natural Care Canada. She is the founder of lisakilgore.com and faculty member at the Canadian School of Natural Nutrition. And today we have her in studio and we're going to talk about mindful nutrition. So welcome, Lisa.
Thanks so much for having me, Kathy.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you in Prince George today. So what is this mindful nutrition we're talking about?
I love mindful nutrition. Mindful nutrition is being present and really enjoying the food that you eat. It's how to bring joy and love and just food enjoyment in general to everything that you eat.
And how do we start this? It looks like you've broken it up into certain weeks of learning certain parts of mindful nutrition.
Yes, I've learned that doing it all at once is almost impossible. And I used to give that to my clients and then wonder why they didn't like me very much for a while. So instead, we've broken it up into four different weeks, each one quite doable. And if you just concentrate on each week, you can, by the end of a month, you'll have a completely different relationship with your food and your food choices.
Okay, week one. What are we going to do?
So the first week is one of the easy weeks. There's two easy weeks. There's two hard weeks. And the first week is simply looking at what are you buying and why are you buying it? It's looking at the colors of fruits and vegetables that you're eating. Are you eating enough fruits and vegetables? It's about thinking about your food shopping priorities. A lot of the times we just go to the grocery store and we don't really think about why we make certain decisions. So just spending a moment thinking about that. Do you make decisions because of budget, or is it food quality, or is it ethics? Where is your balance? And then also looking at your roots. Where is your ancestry from, and what foods did your ancestors eat? And sometimes those foods can be totally out of style right now, but actually bring a lot of joy and pleasure. A plate of pierogies can be a wonderfully healing food, especially if it's a part of your roots.
So soul food is as important as health food.
Absolutely, and it can have health benefits because this is what your gut bacteria has had for generations. And so there can be health properties that are seemingly there, especially in a food that's not quite as health oriented as we normally look at.
Wow, that sounds good. So Yorkshire pudding is on the on the plate.
Totally, but with some vegetables. Let's balance this out.
Okay. So reconnecting with our roots, is that includes not just the vegetables, though, but anything that our parents might have, or grandparents, and that there must be come into a lot of preserved food or fermented food, but just because of our heritage, like years ago, it was done differently.
Absolutely. And that also brings into seasonal eating, that we didn't eat a big salad in the middle of January when the weather was cold. And when we reconnect with our roots, as well as reconnect to locally with what's available, our diet changes, but our body is happier because in the wintertime we're warmed by our food, and in the summertime we're cooled off by our food. So it really brings added benefits that you wouldn't expect.
Okay, so week one, shopping, seeing why you shop, how you shop, and connecting with your roots and getting some recipes from grandma.
Absolutely, and be aware of why you're shopping and what you're getting. Just taking some time to really think about that.
So looking at recipes and putting different things together to really create interest.
Absolutely. If you're really bored by the food, we tend to buy the same food over and over again. And so if that's happening, maybe ask some friends for new recipes, or do a food swap with your friends where you make three or four servings of your favorite meal and three or four friends do the same thing. And then you all swap. And then you'll get to try new flavors and recipes that you never really thought about before.
And other heritages. It's always wonderful to eat at somebody else's house. It always tastes better.
I know. I love it when people cook for me. It tastes so much better than my own.
Yeah. So that's week one. When we head into week two, what's the most important thing there?
So week two is where the hard work begins. And this may seem really easy, but is actually the hardest thing I give any of my clients. If I can give them the hardest cleanse possible, and they'll like me a lot more than when I give mindful eating. So in week two, we really get into mindfulness when you're eating. And it's about being present, being relaxed, sitting at a table, chewing your food, and really, really enjoying it. And that takes work. We don't do that right now. So even just sitting at a table can be a challenge.
And how many times should we chew our food?
You know, I'm not big on counting. So there's many, many practitioners will say 30, and that's a good number. I just know that I'm not going to count, so I don't make other people count. Instead, simply put your fork down. So if after you take a bite, you put your fork down, put your hands in your lap, and just concentrate on the taste of the food, the flavors in your mouth, and chewing it until it's chewed, then you will automatically eat slower and chew a lot better.
And digestion does begin in the mouth, right?
It's so important for digestion. If you're dealing with bloating, gas, or any digestive issue, chewing your food and being relaxed when you eat can be the easiest way to solve your problems. I was working with a woman recently who works in a health food store. She has tried every supplement that's on the shelf, and 7 years later hadn't solved her digestive issues. She started chewing her food and being more relaxed, and now her digestive issues are gone. But it was a practice. I had to do this. I was a very fast eater, and it took me 2 or 3 weeks of really concentrating on it. But now I enjoy my food a lot more, and it is the number one solution to overeating, mm-hmm. binge eating, and emotional eating, or at least it gets you out of that habit. So that way the emotion that's the underlying of emotional eating and binge eating can then be dealt with.
Mm-hmm. And so this gives our body time to secrete the enzymes necessary to break down the food as well.
Exactly. And it gives your stomach time to say, oh, I've had enough. If you eat too quickly, you can over consume and then put too much pressure and strain on your digestive system. When you eat slowly and chew well, you will not eat too much. It's way too boring. If you give yourself 15 or 20 minutes to eat that meal, you will stop when you're about 80% full. But if you eat unconsciously and just eat really, really fast, you'll finish twice as much in 10 minutes and be overfilled.
Hmm. Do you suggest drinking with meals, or is that something to set aside for before or after?
Generally, no drinking with meals or very little liquid, because that dilutes your stomach acid. So we want to give our digestion as much support as possible. So if you drink a big glass of water or juice or milk or whatever you're drinking in the meal, that just dilutes all of your acids in your stomach and overfills your stomach. So if instead you drank between meals, that's a lot easier on your digestion.
What other tips come in week two?
You want to be as relaxed as possible. You're either stressed or you're digesting. They don't happen at the same time. So when you sit down, so we want to try sitting at a table, having a nice environment, and then taking a few deep breaths and getting in that really relaxed state. And then look at your food and notice how good it looks and how fantastic it's going to taste, and really anticipate that meal.
So even just making sure you've cleared a table, maybe light a candle, maybe have a napkin, make it special.
Absolutely. And that can happen if you eat with your family, or if you, like me, live alone and eat alone. A lot of my clients really struggle when they live alone, especially if they're living alone for the first time, and eating can be a lonelier experience. But if instead we make it, we add some pleasure to it, it can make that important thing, eating every day, a bit more joyful and be a better experience.
What about the breath work you talk about before you eat? Mm-hmm. What does that have to do with actually getting present with your food?
When we're breathing and we are really aware of the breath, we are now present, because that's the only thing that's happening in that moment. You're not thinking about your to-do list. You're not thinking about your workday. You're just thinking about that breath. And that resets our nervous system and brings us to that relaxed state. So a couple deep breaths can do it. Some laughter can do it. And we want to leave all of our worries and our stresses away from the dinner table. So those are conversations for different times. The dinner table needs to be joyous and happy. And if there's stress in your house, bring in laughter, because stress and laughter don't exist in the same room either.
Wonderful. That's great. So that's week two, choosing to find a table, choosing to chew and chew and chew. Breathing before you begin to eat. Anything else for week two?
We want to also notice how you're feeling. So when you sit and relax and eat well, how do you feel after that meal? And do you feel lighter? Do you feel better? What do you feel?
Okay. Well, we're going to have to go to a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue learning about mindful nutrition.